The Weekly Headlines. Rising Voices in Real World Radio. Welcome to Rising Voices. Today is the 10th of December, and we are in our 26th edition of the show. I'm joined here in the studio by Mercedes. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hello, Mercedes. How are you, everyone?
Well, and today we have a special show on the COP15 on climate change that is taking place in Copenhagen. We have a special correspondent there of Real World Radio who has been sending a lot of reports and interviews from Copenhagen. No. And we will see if we can arrange an interview with someone at the COP today, later today. But it's, well, we have to see because today there is a huge demonstration. I think at 3 p.m. Local time. So we will let you know at the end of the show. We might also have a live interview. And now we're going to read the main headlines.
Mobilizations around the corner. Interview with Joseph Sakun, Friends of the Earth International, Climate Justice and Energy Coordinator.
Tyranny of Power Exposed. Secret text leaked at COP15.
Climate justice is our slogan. Interview with the Chair of Friends of the Earth International, Nimmo Pase.
The great majority. Besides the re-election of Evo Morales, the movement towards socialism will have a majority in parliament. So, well, as you can see, most of our stories today are on the COP. Well, and we have, of course, a report about the elections in Bolivia, last Sunday's elections. Well, and our first is an interview with Joseph Sakun. He's Friends of the Earth International Climate Justice and Energy Coordinator, and he's attending the COP15 on climate change. And he was explaining our colleague, Jose, who is reporting from Copenhagen, well, what are the activities that are taking place in the Climate Forum? The Climate Forum is the side event that the social movements and organizations are carrying out in parallel to the COP, to the official negotiations. Well, he's also going to talk about a meeting with the Bolivian delegation to celebrate Evo Morales' victory in the elections, and also, well, the main actions like the flood that's going to be taking place on Saturday, and well, also what Friends of the Earth expects from this COP, the actual outcome of a possible deal at the end of this conference of the parties to the UN Convention on Climate Change. So we're going to listen to Joseph Kuhn.
In the Climate Forum, who are going to be carrying out briefings. And the idea with these briefings is they can come out of the negotiations and expose what is going on the inside and bring it to activists and other participants in the Climate Forum. So on the inside, you have around 18,000 people that will be participating. In the Climate Forum, there are several thousand people coming here every day. So it's addressing a different audience. And we've seen in the media that it's been actually very positive about the COP. Despite the negative trajectory of the talks, there have been a lot of newspaper reports, TV items, talking about that something positive can come out of Copenhagen, this Copenhagen debate that we've seen, which is completely taking place in a void away from the reality of the negotiations. So today we had our first briefing, which was really useful. Tom Picking, we had somebody from Focus on the Global South and Third World Network talking about how the Danish presidency is closing down space and having World Trade Organization style closed room discussions that will benefit rich countries to the detriment of poorer countries in the talks. We're also going to have a series of very interactive workshops and seminars on issues ranging from false solutions, such as offsetting. NOAA's having one on carbon capture and storage. There are others that draw the links between the consumption of meat and the increase, the damage that has on the climate. It's also a space where we are able to discuss different actions that are going to be taking place during our time in the COP. We already have some that are very much planned, including on the 13th and the 15th with Via Campesina. On the 14th, there's going to be mobilizations around climate debt, which we'll be participating in. And I think that also resounds with what we are doing on the inside, which is meeting with the Bolivian delegation. There were people from Friends of the Earth International that met with the Bolivian delegation in order to celebrate the re-election of Evo Morales. And it was the Bolivians that have so forcefully been pushing this proposal on climate debt, which Friends of the Earth has been calling for many years.
That was Joe Zakun. He was explaining more or less what the activities at the Climate Forum were. It's important to note that there's a big delegation of Friends of the Earth International, and I think this is, in terms of the delegations, I think it's the largest, the COP with the largest delegation from social movements and organizations. And in this Climate Forum, they are carrying out different activities, like he was explaining, for instance, seminars or talks about false solutions. That is some of the things that Friends of the Earth has been exposing and also fighting against, like agrofuels, for instance. And also, well, he mentioned there will be a meeting with the Bolivian delegation, as I was saying before. Well, the Bolivian delegation and the Bolivian government has come up with this concept of the climate debt, and they are pushing for that in the official negotiations. And this is something that Friends of the Earth has also been fighting for some time now. So it's very important that Bolivia is pushing for this, the idea of a climate debt that developed countries have to pay to the developing countries because of the pollution that they have caused in years and years of greenhouse gas emissions, because they are economies that are based on fossil fuels.
Evo Morales will go to Copenhagen on the 17th to talk, to speak about this, to say that the developing countries are not the ones who owe the northern countries, but it is the other way around, that the industrialized countries owe an ecological and environmental debt with the South.
Yeah, that's true. I remember, I think at the World Social Forum, there was a big campaign in 2005 that against the foreign debt, the external debt that the southern countries supposedly owe to the northern countries. And this campaign was, the slogan was, we are the creditors. And this is the whole idea of the climate debt. And instead of, well, pushing the countries to pay the external debt that they have, the countries in the south with the north, the idea is that the north acknowledges and pays this climate debt with the south. Well, he was also explaining how they are working on a daily basis at the Climate Forum. And as you were saying, Evo Morales will be there, and well, next week most of the presidents will be arriving in Copenhagen, so we hopefully will be reporting on what their main statements and what happens next week, because it will be actually the week when the COP will come to an end. Now we're going to listen to what Joe was telling us about the flood. That's the main demonstration during these negotiations that will take place on Saturday, and also about the expectations about a deal in Copenhagen.
On the 12th, this is going to be the largest Friends of the Earth International mobilization. It's going to be the flood for climate justice. Very specifically, it's going to be targeting offsets. It's going to leave from the Klima Forum after the crowd is addressed by our chair, Nima Bassi, by Henry Saragi from Via Campesina, but also from Amparo Messiano from World March for Women. So it's bringing together a lot of our strategic allies. And then there will be a flood all the way to this center of the city, and it will dismantle a carbon trading center, which is trading in carbon offsets. And Nima will speak once more, and then we will join a much larger rally, and we'll have a climate justice block, which is calling for system change, not climate change. And within that block, there will be a sound system. People will be playing music. There will be a samba band, poetry readings. People will be addressing the crowd. So it's definitely the best section of the march and the most political. I mean, there's no way in the kind of realms of possibility that we'll reach a just deal here in Copenhagen. I just don't think it's actually possible or even desirable, considering it's not desirable to try and reach a deal when what is on the table is so bad. So I think what is really interesting here is the dynamics between developing countries and rich countries. So I think there's a lot of interest around whether or not developing countries actually decide to walk out of the talks or not. And if they do, then that opens up a lot of interesting possibilities. If the Africans walk out like they did in Barcelona, will there be a cascade from other countries, particularly from the Alba region, Bolivia and other countries joining, and that can then create a more unified front with G77 countries. And I think then social movements can play a strong role, not in uncritically supporting those governments, but in clearly stating that it is rich countries that are primarily pushing for a bad deal here. I also think that this is definitely a key juncture for social movements to come together. We've set up very key strategic meetings with Via Campesina and World March for Women, because we know that Copenhagen, it's going to come and go, and it's going to come and go without anything significant in the terms of having a strong political climate regime. But we can take positive steps to building up momentum towards a climate justice movement, which then will be able to spread out even more forcefully and carry on local and national struggles even more forcefully, but also more interconnected, which is the true sense of globalization, not the globalization that's often parroted to us.
We're listening to Joe Sakun. Well, in this last part, he was explaining, well, first of all, the action that's going to take place on Saturday, that's being called the flood by Friends of the Earth, because it's a massive demonstration of people. I think they will be wearing raincoats as if it were like a wave or something like that. But also, he was explaining that they are demanding a system change, not a change in the climate, but actually this is the result, climate change is the result of the neoliberal system, of this system that it's quite unequal, because it implies that the North consumes while the South is suffering the effects of that consumption. So they are calling for a change in the way of life of the people in the North, but also that the North helps the South to develop in a more sustainable way, because the South has also a right to develop. This is something that Nima will later explain, but I think that's something important to stress. And also, he was not very optimistic about a deal coming out of Copenhagen. He said, well, Copenhagen will come and go, but the situation in terms of the climate negotiations won't change much. But the good thing is, well, the social movements have a role to play here, and in these meetings, in these side events, the social movements really become stronger and they become more well organized, and so they can push for well other things like better deals in the future, and also to expose that the northern countries are the actual ones that are not really pushing for a just climate agreement.
Yes, he was saying exactly that it is very difficult that Copenhagen will reach a just and fair deal, and there is a slogan that has been going around that says no deal is better than a bad deal,
exactly.
Which I think comprises the idea. But as you were saying, the important thing and the important aspects of this kind of summits is the role of the social movements, and as you were saying, how the strategic alliances are formed, for instance, between Friends of the Earth, La Via Campesina, and the World March of Women.
Yeah, and focus on the Global South, he was mentioning as well. Another interesting thing he mentioned, well, after this march, there will be, like, music and well, something I also wanted to mention is, at least here, we are in, this is our summer now, and we're just thinking about our colleagues who were going to Copenhagen and thinking how cold it's going to be there. But actually, our colleague Jose said, well, it's not as cold as I was expecting, so it's not that terrible. Because it's winter, and well, in the north, quite for us, it's like must be freezing, but it's not that terrible. So, well, hopefully for Saturday will be okay for well to have this march and this music events at the end. Well, and now I would like to share a document that was leaked this week about the COP in Copenhagen. I think it's part of the same thing that we were mentioning. Apparently, perhaps you're not aware of this, but Denmark has been appointed as the president of these negotiations. So the role of the president is an impartial role. Well, it's a role that the host country has. But a document was leaked to the media that apparently there was a secret text of an agreement with, between developed countries, before the COP had begun. So it's like the developed countries were sidelining the developing countries and, well, all the countries that take part in these negotiations, trying to include this agreement through the back door, which is quite, well, not fair, not really what you would expect from the president of the negotiations. Yeah. That should have a different role.
Yeah, this is referred to the Danish text.
Yeah, exactly. They call it that.
Yeah, but also UK negotiators and US negotiators have participated in the drafting of this text, which is very unfair to developing countries because, well, first they didn't participate in the drafting process.
Exactly.
But also the one of the things that they say in the text is that the developing countries should commit to reductions, and the Kyoto Protocol should be abandoned, which the Kyoto Protocol explicitly says that developing countries should not be committed to reductions.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Friends of the Earth issued a press release on that day, and Mina Raman, she's a former chair of Friends of the Earth and current honorary secretary of Friends of the Earth Malaysia. Well, here are some quotes of what she said about this document. She said, the leaked draft Copenhagen Agreement violates the democratic principles of the UN and threatens the Copenhagen negotiations. By discussing their text in secret backroom meetings with a few select countries, the Danes are doing the opposite of what the world expects the host country to do. I think that summarizes very well what the feeling was. And actually, this text it was supposed to be a secret text, but in the end, it had the opposite effect because it ended up circulating through all the lists of the social movements and NGOs who are exposing this position of the developed countries. Basically, what's some of the what social movements are saying is that the U.S. has been one of the main obstacles for these negotiations because they don't want to commit to mandatory cuts. You know, but because basically there are many things that are going to be discussed in this COP, but one of those the main aspects is that the northern countries should cut their emissions. Well, ideally by 40% by 2020, but the thing is, well, in the European Union, they said, well, they can reduce their emissions by 20%, and if other developed countries commit to other emission reductions, then they can increase that to 30%. But the problem is that these reductions, the key issue is that they are not legally binding, so that the U.S. is pushing for voluntary emission reductions, and, well, of course, the developing countries are demanding quite the opposite. I think in this, recently Scotland committed to reduce their emissions in 40%, and they are leading in this aspect, but there are not many European countries that are willing to follow, so this is one of the main issues here at the at the COP.
Besides that, 20% that you were mentioning includes offsetting mechanisms and, well, reducing
reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation.
Yes, that and, well, the carbon credits and things that, well, they are including in a percentage, but that it's not real. That they, in fact, they are reductions that are taking place in developing countries. And
yeah, that's interesting. Actually, it would be interesting to explain further, maybe to have someone in the show to explain further what all these solutions, false solutions are. And, well, actually, this is what Friends of the Earth is calling us. And, well, La Vía Campesina and other social movements and organizations are saying, well, these are false solutions. So they don't want a deal from the COP. Coming out from the COP that includes these false solutions. That's why Joseph Kuhn was mentioning that they won't agree or they won't be satisfied with a deal that includes these things.
And so that's what the Danish text actually does. It includes carbon storage and offsetting.
Exactly. Well, so it would be interesting to maybe have an interview during our show sometime to explain what all these things are. I've been looking at the story of stuff. I really encourage you to go to the website. It's thestoryofstuff.com. And there, well, you have like very simple or simplified explanations of all this, like cap and trade and, well, other things. And it's quite interesting and very, very good to share with others. And now we're going to give you a little rest and listening to a song. This is a song by U2 and Green Day that was this song was written after the Hurricane Katrina. Well, you must remember the terrible flood that this hurricane caused and the many people who were displaced and died. And well, it's one of the results of climate change, but also of lack of action from the U.S. government in that case. And I think it was interesting to share this now that we're talking about climate change and the COP.
Thank you.
Rising Voices. Real World Radio's live show. We were just listening to Green Day and U2, and the song is called "The Saints Are Coming." And we are in. We have a call here with Joseph Kuhn. He's live from Copenhagen, from the COP15 on climate change. Well, Joe, thanks for being today in the show with us. And well, basically, we just want to know how the negotiations are going, and for you to tell us a little bit about the Friends of the Earth activities today.
The negotiations so far have been going very, very badly. There's been a lot of messages between the developed countries and the developing countries. Again, there seems to be countries such as Canada and the US being the main baddies in the talk so far. But countries like China and India are the ones that seem to be getting the blame. And it's the first week, so things are seen to be moving along quite slowly, and I think they're going to pick up the pace a lot more over the coming days.
We were just asking you about the activities of Friends of the Earth today, and we heard there's an activity of the March of the World March of Women as well.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So there's going to be speakers from Via Campesina, Amparo Messiano, who's from the World March of Women in the Philippines, Miriam Noble, who's the coordinator from Brazil, and then from Friends of the Earth International, it's going to be Mina Ramon from Friends of the Earth Malaysia, and Tudi, who is from Friends of the Earth Swaziland.
And where are the main issues, sorry?
Speakers, Mina in particular, will talk about the negotiations and basically how the flexible mechanisms such as carbon offsetting, the bullying between rich countries and developing countries will have a devastating impact for local communities and in particular for women. And also she is going to give some analysis on why it is important that women are leading those struggles. Tuli is, from what I understand, going to speak from a much more local perspective of how women are the most affected through their climate change policies and false solutions to climate change. And again, that it's women that need to be at the front of those struggles.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit how the social movements are organizing for Saturday's event, the flood, and also how many people do you expect to participate?
Okay, so for the flood, there is an expectation that there will be around 3,000 Friends of the Earth International activists, and there will be other people joining, both European independent activists. The Via Campesina delegation is going to be joining us. Their main leader, Henry Saragi, will be addressing the audience. The small but very international World March of Women delegation will also be joining us for the flood, and they will be addressing the crowds as well. So we're expecting quite a large number, and then those 3,000 demonstrators, after we've done the flood action in the morning, will join the larger march. And there are huge variations in the estimates of how many people come. I think it depends a lot on how much the trade unions mobilize and how many Danish people they can get out on the streets. But within the block of system change, not climate change, which is the climate justice block, I think Friends of the Earth International will probably be the largest single organization, and I think that will be the largest block within the demonstration.
Okay, and very briefly, Joe, maybe it's an obvious question, but how is this COP different to the others, to the previous ones?
From what I hear, the discussions are very acrimonious between developed and developing countries. and that therefore they're progressing at a very slow pace. And the chance of any significant outcome in Copenhagen is looking very, very, very unlikely. Things are going to be delayed until, not only until Bonn in this summertime, but people are already talking about the next COP in Mexico this time next year. So that's how, you know, badly things are going. And within the specific issue areas, there was a concern that the discussions on reducing emissions from deforestation, which are going in completely the wrong direction, that could be the one area that actually progresses the fastest. And that's a real concern, because that could lead to the promotion of plantations, to put forests in carbon markets, and essentially undermine forest-dwelling communities and indigenous peoples' territorial and customary rights, could lead to huge land-grabbing opportunities for corporations and countries.
And one last question. We learned that about this Danish text that was leaked about this agreement between developed countries. What was the reaction of the social movements to this?
What is the reaction of what, sorry?
Of the social movements and NGOs to this text that was leaked?
I think some of the social movements are very concerned about it. I think the African social movement are very concerned about the developments inside the talks. Some of the organizations are more focused on developing an outside strategy that doesn't necessarily follow all of the intricate details within the negotiations, but is much more focused on how you could build how you could strengthen local struggles and build a more powerful movement and exert pressure that way on governments, rather than reacting to every single development that takes place in the talks.
Okay, thank you, Joe, for being today on the show. We were listening to Joe Sakun. He's the co-coordinator of Friends of the Earth Energy and Climate Justice Program. And he was, just explaining what the dynamics is, basically outside the official negotiations, because, he's taking part in the activities of the Climate Forum. And, it seems that there will be a lot of people from Friends of the Earth on Saturday on the march. So I think we had a lot about the COP. Finally, we would just like to say something about the Bolivian elections, because, it is a very important result that Evo Morales got 63% of the votes. It was a landslide victory, and the movement towards socialism obtained the majority in parliament, which means they will be able to push for different bills that they will be able to actually pass them without the need for the votes of the opposition. It's really important shows not only the support that Evo Morales has, but also the fact that people want him to continue with the reforms that he started in his previous term in office. And it's also important to remember that he actually called for a referendum when he was being questioned by the opposition, and that in that referendum people ratified him. So it will be interesting to see, we've seen that Bolivia is pushing for this climate debt issue in the negotiations in Copenhagen. It will be interesting also to see what Evo has to say when he is in Copenhagen next week. So we hope to have something on that in our next show. This is Love Neck Trash Can by the Ravenettes. I chose this band because they are Danish, and there are not many Danish bands out there. And actually, I'm quite a fan of them. So, I leave you with the Ravenettes and see you next week.
Bye, till next week.
Touch that girl, yeah.